welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for joining me today, and I would like, with the Lord's help, to continue on the subject long-suffering that I began on yesterday's broadcast. And as we concluded the broadcast yesterday, we're looking at some of the very words of Jesus found in the 15th chapter of John, where we see very clearly that if we will follow Christ, it will bring persecution. In verse 19, Jesus said, "If ye were of the world would love his own, but ye are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And then in verse 22, he said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." And it's very helpful to understand that their discomfort and their anger and the frustration or whatever it is they're manifesting to you, it's not as much directed as you as the fact that the light that is in us, the light of Jesus, reveals the darkness in their own souls. They realize they're spiritually naked before God. And when your light is shining, they can no longer stand in darkness. And it's just the sudden realization of their own nakedness as well as the Lord's conviction. And so, beloved, long-suffering is one of the fruit and aspect of the Holy Spirit's personality that we must have in dealing with people in our lives. First of all, it's a necessity for sinners. When we truly live for God, the world's going to be upset with us. Why should we be kind when men persecute us? Well, Romans 2:4 says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. When we suffer long and while we are being kind, it will lead a number of souls to Christ. Another scripture that's important to hear is Colossians, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11, where Paul is saying that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto, for the purpose of, all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Walking worthy before the Lord is associated with long-suffering. Walking worthy is demonstrating Jesus in difficult circumstances. You know, we've heard that saying for years, what would Jesus do? And that's a good measuring line. That's a good gauge of how we should respond in attitude, with our words, and in actions. What would Jesus do? We see how he endured the most horrific of physical trials and emotional trials, as well as spiritual trials. We have discovered that love must be kind and gentle while it suffers long. In this scripture I just shared with you from Colossians, we have another aspect of the fruit that must go with long-suffering in order for the Father to be glorified, and that is joyfulness. Now, certainly we can't by ourselves muster up joyfulness. It is something that is going to be given to us by the grace of God, that we really are able to be joyful. Why? Because we are moving our lives in line with the standards of God's Word, with eternal values. And this will bring joy to our spirit man. Well, our emotions, even our physical body could be uncomfortable, but there's no greater joy than knowing in your inner heart, your inner man, that you are pleasing God. And to be joyful, if we're able to be that way with difficult people, it's genuine evidence of our connection to the vine. Remember what Jesus said, we're the branches, he's the vine. So we definitely have to have long-suffering dealing with sinners, but also another arena we need long-suffering is with the body of Christ. Have you found that, beloved? Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beloved Christians are at many different levels of spiritual development and maturity. Forbearance, or long-suffering, is the spiritually mature way of dealing with others who are carnal. Getting angry with them, frustrated, well, we're not much better than them. So in order to be long-suffering, God's grace will be manifested not only in our lives, but to others. Our example and our love will bring them to a new level of mature behavior in God. And even if it doesn't, it's God's business. At least you won't bring God's displeasure on yourself. Isn't that the point? We want to be pleasing to Him. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The Holy Spirit is telling us that in giving out God's word, we must be long-suffering. People don't change just because they hear the truth one time. Different people respond to different approaches, and long-suffering is always the ingredient for ultimate success and change. Every Christian worker needs patience and long-suffering when planting and watering the seed of God's word. There will be those who will reject your message, and those who seem to accept it, but then they don't change. You know what the answer is? Just obey God. Do your best and then leave the rest to the Lord. Now, another area in which long-suffering is needed, and you won't even question this, and that's in dealing with family, loved ones, or close relationships. Sometimes that often requires the greatest measure of long-suffering. Some of you perhaps have heard of the life story and the tremendous miracles that were wrought through the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth. He was an evangelist and a powerful man of God. I think he had some 20-some people raised from the dead. But in understanding his testimony, his history, he knew the Lord, but he backslid. And he was married. His wife's name was Polly. And when this occurred, she grew even more intense and prayerful in her relationship and love for God. And of course, this irked Smith Wigglesworth to no end. He persecuted her to the point of actually putting her out of the house. But when she continued to show nothing but kindness and love, Smith's heart was broken. And as a result, he repented and he returned to God. And from that point, God raised him up to a worldwide ministry of healing, which has been seldom seen at any time. And just imagine if his wife hadn't been Christ-like. This one, what you might say, insignificant little woman resulted in many, many lives being changed because she was willing to obey God and pay the price of dying to self. Now, of course, Jesus is our perfect example of long-suffering. I'd like to share with you something that I ran across, and I just want to share this author's comments. If we want to see the ultimate in long-suffering, let us go to the old rugged cross. There we find Jesus. His clothing is ripped from his body. He is chained to iron rings in a position that would expose the back, the most the most and increase the pain to full measure. The Roman soldiers who whipped him were professionals. They were trained to beat a man within an inch of death. In fact, this whipping was called the Little Death, which got men ready for the Big Death, which was crucifixion. The short-handled whip had small iron chains on it with weights at the end. Feel the impact of those chains as they came hurling down across the body, wrapping themselves around in such biting force that they slice off the skin and bite deep into the flesh. Men have bitten their tongues in two under such crushing punishment. Our Lord was beaten so much in this whipping that he could not later carry the cross but fell beneath its load. The beard was plucked out from his face, and the slapping was so intense that the prophet Isaiah said he was marred so much that he didn't look like a man. 5-inch iron spikes are driven into the hands. The cross is dropped into the ground, and then pain and blackness multiply. Every moment on the cross, pain increases. The muscles knot in such a way on the cross that in about 2 hours, men have shouted themselves into insanity with the pain. The mucous membrane of the body now dries out, so the eyes and tongue become ripped and tortured at the slightest move. It was in this condition, beloved, that our precious Lord whispered, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Love suffered long and was kind, and love, beloved, still suffers long today. Jesus was our perfect example. We look at Paul's life, the hate and persecution that he evidenced to Christians, but when God gets a hold of them, he's an outstanding example of how great Christ's long-suffering is. And then in 2 Timothy 3:10, he mentions to Timothy that his life is an example to others of long-suffering. In 2 Corinthians, that 23rd to the 28th verse, you know, Paul outlines some of the things that he's gone through, being shipwrecked and beaten with rods. All the many things that the saints of God suffered to demonstrate the love and the mercy and the long-suffering of Christ. Beloved, that's a high calling, and we certainly can't do it in ourselves, but God will enable us, whatever our circumstances might be, to show forth the love and the long-suffering of Jesus. That's my prayer for you as well as for myself. Well, God bless you. It's been a privilege to minister to you. I invite you to tune in next time, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. The announcer is going to give now our contact information. Won't you write? I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh.